This parak we're going to discuss the eighth test of Avraham Avinu, that is the test of his bris milah, that he had his circumcision at the ripe age of 99. I think I mistakenly said when I introduced Rabbi Robert, I said that the last one was the eighth test, the about the four malchus, but that was a mistake. That was the seventh one. This is the eighth one. The eighth test is Avraham Avinu's bris milah, and this parak is a pretty big parak. It will probably take us 3 or 4 weeks. And besides speaking about Avraham Avinu and bris milah, it speaks about all kinds of different interesting things that have to do with bris milah in general. So hopefully we'll get to that too. Nisayan Hashmini, the eighth test. The pasuk says, "Vayhi Avraham ben tishim shana v'asei shashanim." Avraham was 99 years old. Amar lo Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, "Hishaleich lefanai v'hiyei samim." Walk in front of me and be perfect or complete. That's the lashon of the pasuk. Hisalech lefanei v'yei samim. What does that mean? Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, Ad achshav lo hayisa tamim lefanei. Until now, you weren't considered complete in front of me. What do you have to do in order to be considered complete in front of me? El moil b'sar oylascha me'alecha v'yisalech lefanei v'yei samim. Rather, what you should do is cut the flesh of your foreskin from upon you, and then you'll walk in front of me and you'll be considered complete. Sheha'arla tmeyahi mikola tumois, because the impurity of the foreskin is the most impure of all the impurities. Shenamar, as it says in the Pasuk, La Yosef Yavoy Vach Oid Oil Vatame. It's a Nevuah where it's talking about that the Goyim aren't going to fight Klal Yisrael, and says that Orel and a Tameh are not going to come against you. So it equates Orel, a person who doesn't have a bris milah, with a Tameh, a person who's wholly impure. Sha'orla mum hi mikol mumim. Because an Orla is in a blemish of all the blemishes. Rather, what you should do is mal as bisara loscha, you should cut the flesh of your foreskin, v'hisalech lefanei v'yesamim, and walk in front of me, and you'll be whole. I don't know why it said that again, but for some reason it said it again. Fine. So what did Avraham Avinu do? Rabbi Gamliel Oimer. Rabbi Gamliel says, what is the first thing he does? Shalach v'kara l'shem ben Nayach. He went out, he sent a message, and he called Shem ben Nayach to come and help him out. Umar is b'sara al-asai. The implication here is that Shem ben Nayach was the one who cut Avraham Avinu's bris. You know, Rashi in Chumash says, I forgot to read Chumash. Rashi in Chumash says, "Bracious Yud Zayin Parak Yud Zayin Pasuk of Dalit." No, it's okay. Rashi says. Rashi says that Avraham Avinu was going to cut his own orla, and he saw that his hand was shaking, and he was scared. And Hashem said, "Don't worry, I'm going to help you out." And Hashem helped him, and he was able to cut it himself. That's what Rashi says. But the Medrash over here is saying that no, Avraham Avinu didn't cut himself. Rather, it was Shem ben Nayach who cut him. You know, not everyone makes the cut. You want to be a male, not everyone makes the cut. So they say.
Did Shem himself have a bris?
Oh, so did Shem himself have a bris? So why did the Medrash have to say that Shem was the one who cut him? So the Radal says, at first, he says that the Chazal tell us, the Drasha, that says, Himal Yimal kol Zohar. Chazal tell us, Himal Yimal means a person who has a bris milah, he should be the one that's doing the bris milah. So Chazal tells us that only a person who he himself has a bris milah, he is allowed to cut somebody else. So the Radal says, so maybe you want to say that the Medrash is saying that Shem was the one who did it, because it's saying that Shem had a bris and he's the one who cut Avraham Avinu. Because who else could have cut him if not Shem? Who else had a bris?
Why didn't they tell Avraham to do it before?
That's a different question. So that's what the Radal says, why it's saying that Shem was the one who did it. But then the Radal asks, that the halacha is that this that we said that a person who has a bris, he's the only one who could do a bris, is only talking about a Jew. If you're a goy, even if you have a bris, if you're not Jewish, even if you have a bris, you can't be a male. So even though Shem had a bris, but Shem wasn't Jewish, he didn't have the din of a Yisrael, he had the din of a Ben Nayach. We would assume. So why is the Medrash saying that, Shem is the one that did it because he had a bris? Like, what's the mile of the fact that he had a bris if he wasn't even Jewish? That's what the Radal asks. He says in parentheses, like, maybe he could say that we find that Chazal tells us in a few places that Shem was a Navi. He prophesied about the Migdal Bava. Before it happened, he was telling people to do tshuva. So he was a Navi in some ways. So we could say that since he was a Navi, so maybe he has like some similarities to Jewish, even though he was had a din of a Ben Noach, not a Yisrael. Still, the fact that he had a Bris Milah is already a Milah over everyone else, so like he was the one who would cut Avraham Avinu. That's more or less what the Radal wants to say. The Marzu says that in the Girsa of the Yalkut Shemayni, I just forgot to mention that, it says that an Oral is also a Kherpa. It's an embarrassment to have an Orla, to have a foreskin, because it says in the Pasuk, Ki Kherpa hi lanu, by the sons, by Shimon and Levi, when they spoke to the people of Shechem, they said that it's an embarrassment for us to give our sister to somebody who has an Orla. So they said it's also an embarrassment. And the Marzu says that there's a line and a half later on in the parak which also speaks about Orla, which he wants to say is really supposed to be earlier in the parak at this point over here. Okay, whatever. But the point is, okay, so Rav Gamliel says that Avraham Avinu called Shem ben Noach, Umalas Besar Losai, Shem ben Noach cut Avraham Avinu's Orla, Uvasar Orla is Yishmael ben Noach, and he cut the Orla of Avraham Avinu's son Yishmael. Shinema, as it says in the Pasuk, Be'etem Hayem Azeh Nimal Avram V'Yishmael Benoy. On that day, Avram and his son Yishmael were Nimal. They were circumcised. The way I understand it, the drush is, because it says Nimal, they were circumcised, as if they were passive in the circumcision. It doesn't say that Avram circumcised himself, it says Avram was circumcised. So it sounds like he's not the one who did it to himself. Someone else did it to him. I think that's the pshat in the drash over here. The Radal brings that the Ramban and Chumash understands it differently. The Ramban and Chumash says, I really should have brought a chumash, but whatever. The Ramban says that Avram, the psukim say that Avram took his son Yishmael and all the people of his household, and it says, and he cut their foreskin, and then it says afterwards that Avram was circumcised. So basically what the Ramban wants to say is that Avram cut everyone else, and then at the end he did himself. Or that everyone, or Avram and let's say his servants did everyone, and then he cut himself. That's what the Ramban says. But in the Pirkei de Blizzard, it seems in a different order. It says first Avram, then Yishmael, and then we would assume everyone else, I guess. Okay, so it says that he Be'etzem Hayoyim Azeh. Literally translated, it would mean that Be'etzem Hayoyim Azeh, in this day itself, Nimal Avram Yishmael Benai, Avram and his son Yishmael were circumcised. What does it mean in this day itself? What's the Etzem Hayoyim Azeh? The day itself. Just say Be'yoyim Azeh. Why does it say Be'etzem Hayoyim Azeh? Mao Be'etzem Hayoyim Azeh. What does it mean Be'etzem Hayoyim Azeh? In this day itself. So Chazal Darshan Bigvuras Hashemesh Bachatzi Hayoyim. The word Etzem means itself, but it also means strength. It's a lashon of strength or strong. Vayatzmu, in the upcoming parsha Shemais, it says Bnei Yisrael Vayatzmu B'Ma'id Ma'id. It became very strong. Etzem means strength. So the Medrash over here is darshaning Be'etzem Hayoyim Azeh. What?
Atzum.
Right? Be'etzem Hayoyim Azeh means at the strength of the day. When the sun is at the peak of its strength, meaning at exactly midday, when it's the hottest part of the day, that's when they had their Bris Milah. Any questions on that?
Why the
when do we
why
usually
the most uncomfortable moments of the day?
Why what? No, okay, we could say we could speak about that in a moment, but usually when you go to a Bris, when's the Bris? In the morning, right? Unless there's Sfardi, a lot of Sfardi make bris in the afternoon for some reason. But we usually make a bris in the morning. Why? Because there's a law called Zvizin Makdimin. Right? A person who's zealous to fulfill a commandment is going to try to do it at the first possible opportunity that he can. And if you can do only bris in the day, so you do it right in the beginning of the day. Right after Shacharis, that's when they do the bris. Right? So why did Avraham Avinu wait till the middle of the day? So the Zayis Ranan asks this question, the Zayis Ranan Yalkut Shemayni, and he answers that Avraham Avinu was doing it to like show the whole world and say, look, I'm doing a bris milah. Anyone who wants to stop me, you know, you have any complaints, you don't believe in Hashem, you wanna make a protest, come and stop me. That was his way of showing the whole world that he believes in Hashem. That's the Zayis Rana's pshat. The Radal says a slightly different pshat. He says that the reason why Avraham Avinu did it in mamish in the middle of the day is simply because we say that the sun helps heal. Shemesh marpeh. The sun helps heal a person. Like, you know, the sun can help plants grow through photosynthesis. It helps heal and replenish yourself. So the sun has this healing property that Avraham Avinu wanted to take advantage of the healing property. So that's why he dafka did the bris in the middle of the day. The Radal says that in Ois Gimel. The other nukuda that the Radal says was, you could say that when the pasuk says, really pashup shat on the pasuk, when it says be'etzem ayem azeh, in this day itself, what's really the pashup shat on the pasuk? What's it coming to tell you, this day itself? It's coming to tell you that the day that Hashem gave Avraham Avinu the commandment to do bris milah, on that day itself is when he did it. That's pashup shat on the pasuk. So the Radal says that it could be that what it means is that he did it in the middle of the day is because for whatever reason, it could be the reasons that we've mentioned, for whatever reason, Hashem only told him the commandment at, let's say, 11:30 in the morning. So if you only found out about 11:30 in the morning, the first time you could do it is 12 o'clock. You get all the preparations, whatever, he was doing it at the first possible moment. It's not a contradiction to Zrizin Makdimin, the fact that he did it at 12 o'clock. Could be he only found out about it then. Okay. That's one drasha on Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, that it was in the middle of the day. V'loy oid, not only that it was in the middle of the day, ela asya etzem yom kippurim. Rather, we learn how to drasha, what?
The sun kind of thing is, the explanation is really interesting. They didn't do it outside, so what's the difference, you know, being, you know, how the sun was in the middle of the day, 11 o'clock, 9 o'clock in the morning, whatever.
I know, this is something we're also going to see later on in this pack, that the sun helps heal a person from,
yeah,
from
if
the...
if you're outside, right?
If you're outside, maybe he did do it outside. Especially if we learn that he was doing it like out in the open to publicize this so that everyone will know about it. If anyone wants to complain, he's trying to show that his belief in Hashem. Maybe he did do it outside. I don't know. I'm throwing that out there. Maybe he did.
I
don't know. I'm just.
The world wasn't, and he was. It's Noah and.
Right.
I know, it's just a little bit of a contradiction.
Yeah.
I try to understand because it's Avraham Avinu, you know?
Maybe the sun's healing properties also work outside. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know exactly how it works. V'loy oid. V'loy oid. Ela asya etzem yom kippurim. We learn out of drasha of etzem from Yom Kippur. What does that mean? Malahalan, like, just like over there by Yom Kippur, it says in the pasuk, "V'chol malacha lo yisasu." Any work you should not do, be'etzem hayom hazeh, on this day itself, ki Yom Kippurim hu, because it's a day of atonement. And it says the word etzem regarding Yom Kippur. So from that, and over here it says the word etzem regarding the bris milah of Avraham Avinu. So from that we learn shibiyam kippurim nimal Avram. That we learn out that Avraham Avinu was circumcised on the day of Yom Kippur. Interestingly, I found in the Pirshei Keach al Torah, so the Pirshei Keach al Torah brings this pasuk that we're talking about, Be'etzem Hayem Hazeh Nimal Avram, and it says that the words Be'etzem Hayem Hazeh Nimal in Gematria is 416, and equals the word Yom Kippurim, which is also 460, whatever, with the kettle. But basically, the words Be'etzem Hayem Hazeh Nimal equals Yom Kippurim in Gematria. So that's a remez to this drasha. I actually also found, once we're mentioning gematrias in the Sefer Rekeach, in two parakim ago, we mentioned that, actually it was three parakim ago, We mentioned that in Parak Chavav, we mentioned that the night that Paro abducted Sarah was Leil Pesach. And we darshan it from the pasuk of Nigaim, that Hashem brought on Paro Nigaim Gedolim Ve'es Pesach. So Pirush Rekech over there says that the word Nigaim in Gematria equals Bechag HaPesach, 173. Both Nigoyim and Bechag HaPesach equal 173. So over there he finds a remez to the day that it happened in the words of the Pasuk. In the same Pasuk that the Perek of Eliezer happens to be bringing. V'chol Shana Vishana Hakadosh Baruch Hu Roya Dam Habris Shel Mila Shel Avram Avinu Umechaper Al Kol Avinu Seiro. Every single year, Hakadosh Baruch Hu looks at the blood of the circumcision of Avram Avinu, and that atones for our averes, for our sins. Shneamar says in the pasuk, Ki Vayayim Hazeh Yechaper Aleichem Letayraschem. Because on this day He shall atone for us to purify us. That's Pashup Shal in the pasuk. But the word Bayayim Hazeh, which means on this day, you could read it as through this day. Because basically mean on or through. So through this day, Hashem atones for us. What does it mean, through this day? So the Radak explains that means through something that happened on this day. There's something that happened on this day of Yom Kippur, that's why we get our Kapara. And what's that thing that happened on this day of Yom Kippur? That was the bris of Avraham Avinu. That's what the Medrash over here is trying to tell us. There's another question they ask. If you want to say that the bris of Avraham Avinu happened on Yom Kippur, so Tesis in Maseches Rosh Hashanah and Dafir Aleph Amud Aleph asks this question. That we know that 3 days after the bris of Avraham Avinu, so the Malach came to visit him. Right? The story with the three Malachim, they came to visit him. That was 3 days after his bris. Right? Now, the Malach, it seems, came. Said to them, in a year from now, Yitzhak is going to be born. And the Gemara elsewhere tells us that Yitzhak was born on Pesach. So how could you say that this story happened on Yom Kippur, that's when he had his bris mila on Yom Kippur, if 3 days later it's supposed to be a year before Pesach? That doesn't make any sense. So the Marzu over here wants to say that there's machlekes between Midrashim, what day of the year was Avraham Avinu's bris. That's what he says. Tesis over there entertains the possibility that the Malachim didn't come a year before Yitzhak was born, but rather 6 months before Yitzhak was born. And you have to say that, because the Malachim said that when the sun is at this place, so then you know, you're going to have a son. So we understand that when the sun is at this place, that means in a year from now. But the truth is that the sun is at the same place twice a year. You know, it's like, it goes like this, and then it goes back like this. So it's going to be in the same place twice a year. Right? Yeah, that was an oversimplification. But
the thing is, when the Malachim came, Sarah Aminu was making matzahs for Pesach.
But yeah, there is such a medrash that says that. So you have to see that medrash isn't going with this understanding. Something like that. Like the Marzu, really what the Marzu says, that it's a machlekes amongst the medrashim, that's probably the preferred pshat. And as I'll say in a minute, we actually do find a machlekes at this point in Midrashim.
And also it says that Sarah was remembered on Rosh Hashanah.
Right. So you want to say if she was remembered on Rosh Hashanah, so then if like a week and a half later the Malachim came to visit her, so it makes more sense. I hear. Or 2 weeks later. So Pirkei Eliezer goes with this understanding that Avraham Avinu's bris was on Yom Kippur. So the Rishonim in Chumash, in Parshas Lech Lecha, they bring an opinion from a Medrash in Shir Shirim, which we don't have that Medrash, that says that Avraham Avinu's bris didn't happen on Yom Kippur. The Medrash in Shir Shirim darshins the Pasuk, in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, it says that the Malachim came k'chaim hayom, in the heat of the day. When they came to visit Avraham Avinu, it was k'chaim hayom, in the heat of the day. So the Medrash says, what does it mean k'chaim hayom? It means in the month of Tammuz, in the summer. That makes sense, because it's very hot in the summer. So they came in the heat of the day, means the hottest time of the year, in Tammuz, in the month of Tammuz. So what day in Tammuz exactly did it happen? So I found in the different Rishonim that bring this down, they say it in different ways. The Rekeach, when he brings it down, says it was Tes Zayin Tammuz, the 16th of Tammuz. The Tesis of Sholem written Yud Zayin Tammuz, the 17th of Tammuz, which we know that that day has significance to us because it's a fast day, the beginning of the 3 weeks. And the Pshatim U'Pirushim of Rabbi Yaakov Mivina, Sefer from one of the probably one of the earliest Rishonim that we find in what's considered, let's say, Central and Eastern Europe, Rabbi Yaakov of Vienna. He has a Pirush on Chumash called Pshatim U'Pirushim. So he says there was Aleph Tammuz, the first day of Tammuz. So it's different Mefarshim exactly what day of Tammuz. I found a cute drush in the Imre Emes from one of the Ger Rebbes, the Imre Emes. What was his name? I forgot his name. I think it was in like 1958, something like that. The Imre Emes in the Likutim, on the Imre Emes Likutim on the topic of Bris Milah. So he brings a hint to this idea that the bris of Avraham Avinu happened on the first day of Tammuz from a pasuk in Parshas Noach. Parshas Noach, when it's talking about the receding waters after the flood, so it says, Reishis Perek Ches, pasuk Hey, it says, Bo'asiri be'achad l'chodesh, niru roshe he'horim. On the 10th month, on the first of the month, the head of the mountains were visible. What does it mean, the head of the mountains were visible? So he finds in this a remez to the bris milah of Avraham Avinu. I mean, the 10th month, the first of the month, is Aleph Tammuz, like Pshatim and Pirushim says, that Avraham Avinu's bris happened on the first of Tammuz. Niru Rosh Yaharim, the head of the mountains were visible, so you have to know that Chazal, when they refer to the male reproductive organ, so they call it the Resh HaGvia. It's called euphemistically known as the Resh HaGviah, which literally means the head of the body. Right? So Resh is a remnant of that body part, right, or that idea. And Harim, we spoke about, I might say Barichos maybe, we spoke about this in Perek Hay. We said that Harim is a reference to the Avos. So Harim or Gvois. So Harim is the Avos, and the Gvois are the Imohis. And we spoke, we gave a whole lengthy drush over there about that. And if you remember what we said over there, so the term harim is very appropriate to this idea over here, what we're talking about. Okay. Let's go weiter. Uvo'ayse mokoim shenimal v'nishar domai sham nivne hamizbeach. At that place where Avraham Avinu was circumcised, and there was blood that was left over there, that's where the Mizbeach was built. That is where the Beis HaMikdash was built. This line is a little bit problematic, because 3 days after Avraham Avinu's Bris Milah, we find that Avraham Avinu was in a place called Eleinei Mamre, in Parshas Vayera, Vayera Elav Hashem be'Eleinei Mamre, at the plains of Mamre, which we find other Pesukim that tell us that Eleinei Mamre is in Chevron. So that seems to suggest that 3 days after his bris, Avraham Avinu was in Chevron. And now we're saying over here that Avraham Avinu did his bris at the Makom of Beis HaMikdash, which is in Yerushalayim. Now, we're going to talk about this later in the parak a little bit more, but it's not such a safe idea, or not a smart idea, to travel
30 miles
after you had a bris milah. It's not safe to travel so much. You're supposed to stay in one place and allow yourself to recover. You're not going on the road within 3 days after you had a bris milah. The Rada points out another thing, which I don't know if I agree to him so much, but he says, "Oh, it makes sense that Avraham Avinu's bris milah was in Yerushalayim, because it said that he called Shem ben Noach, and Shem ben Noach was, you know, Shem is Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem." Malkitzedek was the king of Yerushalayim, so he called Shem. So Shem was the one who did it, so it makes sense that it would be in Yerushalayim. I don't agree to that. I don't think I agree to that, because it said earlier in the Pek that he called Shem. That sounds like Shem came to him. It doesn't sound like he came to Shem. So I'm not sure if I agree with that point that he says. I mean, it's true, Shem was much older than Avraham Avinu, and he was his whatever, great, 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 great grandfather, so it's a shtickel chutzpedek to call your great 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 whatever grandfather to come to you. But on the other hand, you know, if you go to him, how are you going to travel back home? There's something missing over here. I'm not sure exactly how to explain it.
On the other hand, you're referring to the man that Hashem revealed himself to him, and Hashem knew that.
That's true. I don't know. There's just I don't like that thinking. I don't like the explanation to say that. I don't know. I'm not sure.
The father was because of the fifth commandment. That's the
what? No, it's like you know, shame was what? That's like 500 years old, and Avraham Avinu was like only 99. So it's like, I don't know. It could be things were different back then. I just like, to me, it's like it's hard to say that, like, maybe he paid him or something. I don't know. I'm just like, you hear what I'm bothered by?
Yeah.
But so we're saying that at that place where Avraham Avinu had his bris milah, that's where the bris milah was built. Well, the kach nemar, that's why it says in the pasuk, but as called domai yishbarich liyaserim isbech. You should when really the pasuk is that's called domai yishbarich liyaserim isbech.
They called him and then went together to some place that they found it was special.
Could be they met somewhere in the middle. They met in Beis Lechem or something.
No, because
the
place of the Beis Mikdash is not in Beis Lechem.
Right, it's not in Beis Lechem. Yeah, I don't know.
Call him doesn't say like send a letter or come to me.
Say it, fine. So you answered up the Radal, but you still didn't answer how he was able to travel back to Hebron within 3 days. Okay. Well, kach nemar, that's why it says in the pasuk, "V'es kol dama yishbech le'yisedim isbech." It's talking about, as the Radal explains, it's talking about a korban chatas of an individual. It says that you take the blood of the chatas and you pour it down to the yisedim isbech. Right? So Chazal Darshan over here that the Yisoid HaMizbech, the foundation of the Mizbech, the place that the Mizbech is built on, also has to do with blood. And we're saying that that has to do with the place where Avraham Avinu had his bris milah, where there was blood that was left over there. And then it says, brings another pasuk, V'oim Eloch b'domai chayi, V'oim Eloch b'domai chayi. And Hashem said to us that through your blood you're going to live, and through the blood you're going to live. Why exactly is the Medrash bringing this pasuk over here? It's not exactly clear. Nor is it clear what the Medrash was saying with the previous pasuk, really. But it seems to be saying that, you know, there's two bloods that are causing a Kadosh Baruch Hu to allow us to continue living. One is the blood of the Korbanos of Yom Kippur, which is how we get our kapara, and the other one is the blood of the bris of Avraham Avinu that we said before is when Hashem remembers on Yom Kippur, and that's why He gives us a kapara. That's what the Radal says. Fine. Now, this idea that over here we see a strong, very strong connection between the concept of bris milah and the concept of korbanos, of ritual sacrifices. So, we spoke a little bit about this idea previously in Perek Yud, in the end of Perek Yud, by the people of Nineveh when they went to convert themselves and they did bris milah. So I mentioned over there in the end of Perek Yud that Chazal tell us its mission of us. It says Al Shleisha Dvarim Ha'ilam Oymed Al Torah Al Avoda Al Gemilas Chasadim. On Torah, on Avoda and Gemilas Chasadim. So what's Avoda? Avoda means the service in the Beis Hamikdash, the worship in the Beis Hamikdash. What do we do nowadays? We don't have worship in the Beis Hamikdash nowadays. So what's the Avodah nowadays? So the famous Rabbeinu Yonah says that nowadays we don't have Avodah in the Beis Hamikdash. We have Avodah through davening, through tefillah, through prayer. However, I found that the Moshe of Zakenim in Parshas Tzav, as well as the Shita Mekubetzes in his Drushas Rabbeinu Betzalel Ashkenazi, they both write the same idea that nowadays that we don't have the void in the Beis Hamikdash, so what's the void that the world is standing on? Bris Milah. So we see that Bris Milah is something that's very much connected to the idea of Korbanos. We find this in a few other places. Rabbeinu Bachaye in Parshas Lech Lecha by the Bris Milah of Avraham Avinu, Perek Yud Zayin, Pasuk Yud Gimel, he writes like this. Even he takes the Pirkei Avos even a step further. He says, "Kishem shedam haKorban mechaper al mizbeach, kach dam hamila mechaper." Just like the blood of a korban gives a person an atonement when blood goes on the mizbeach, so too the blood of the circumcision also gives a person atonement. And Rabbeinu Bachaye says another nukud. He says that just like we find that a korban, the halacha is when an animal is born, it has to be with its mother for 7 days. And on the 8th day and onwards, then it could be it's acceptable to be used as a korban. A korban is only kosher after 8 days. So Rabbi Bachaya says, so too, that's why we do bris milah on dafka the 8th day. Because if you can only do a korban after 8 days, so then bris milah is like a korban, so we only let you do it after on the 8th day. That's when you're supposed to do the bris milah, or from the 8th day and onward. Rabbi Bachaya says another nukudah, is that just like we find that the eating the meat of a korban gives a person a kapara, so too by a bris milah we're supposed to make a suda on the day that you make a bris milah. We'll speak about that later in the parak. There's a itbatan and halacha. They're supposed to make a suda. There's a lot of other different similarities between the bris milah and korbanos. I have a friend who wrote a whole shtickel Torah about maybe 15 different similarities between the two. One more nekuda is that, like the Toras Chaim in Sanhedrin Daf Pei Testament Beis says that when you go to a shul, they do the bris milah in the shul. I don't know if you ever noticed this, but they always do the bris milah on the north side of the shul. Usually it's on facing, let's say from the front of the shul facing frontwards, from the back of the shul facing frontwards. So usually the bris is done on the left side of the arun. Where the rav sits. Usually the rav sits on the left side of the arun. So the bris is done over there on the north side of the shul, right? Because if the front is eastwards, so then the left is what's it called, north, right? So why is bris done dafka on the north side of the shul? So the Teres Chaim says that there's a halacha that a korban chatas is a korban oila is supposed to be slaughtered dafka in the north part of the azara. So too, when you're doing a bris milah, which is like a korban, you're supposed to do it in the north part of the shul. Fine. Let's go weiter. Rabbi Chanina ben Deisa Omer. Rabbi Chanina ben Deisa says, Kol ha'nimoilim b'yom ha'shlishi ke'ev hulahem. Anyone who has a bris milah on the third day, it's painful for them. Shneamar says in the pasuk by b'yom ha'shlishi b'yasim kayavim. It's pasuk by Shimon and Levi when they tricked all of the people of Shechem into getting a bris milah. So it was on the third day when they were all pain in pain. So you see that on the third day there's pain. So now, what does it mean that on the third day there's pain? So the Rambam understands that in Hilchas Milah, the Rambam says that Dafka the third day, there's some sort of din or idea or whatever, that there's a special pain that a person has Dafka on the third day after the Bris Milah. That's what the Rambam says. But the other Mefarshim say no. The third day is Lav Dafka the third day. It's saying even 3 days after the Bris Milah, there's still a pain, as if, you know, it's like it's painful, like you just had a major surgery, so you're 3 days within a major surgery. Interestingly, the Radal and the Bayis HaGadol both quote a Ran, and they bring two different Rans that say this same basic idea with a slightly different Havana. The Radal brings a Ran in Masech Shabbos in Perek Rabbi Elazar de Mila. The Ran says that why did the Medrash single out the third day if the third day is Lav Tafka? Because it says that usually the Teva is, the nature of the world is, that when a person is sick, so on the third day he starts feeling better. So over here we're telling you that by Bris Milah it's not true. On the third day you don't start feeling better on the third day. That's what the Ran and Shabbos says. The Bayis HaGadol brings from the Ran and Maseches Nedarim, Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis. He says that why Dafka the third day? What's the meaning of the third day? And it just says that because by the third day you're sick of being in pain. So it feels the worst. Because you've been in pain for the last 3 days and now you're still in pain. So you don't feel so good. But and Shimon and Levi were taking advantage of that feeling of you know not feeling so well because they've been in pain for 3 days, but not because the third day is a special pain that is not there on the first or second day. And because of this pain, the Chazal taught us. Barchitzin is a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah in Misach Shabbos. Actually, it's twice in Misach Shabbos. Perek Tes, Mishnah Gimel. Perek Yud Tes, also Mishnah Gimel. It says, Barchitzin is a katan b'shlishi shalai shechal yes b'shabbos. We bathe a young child on the third day of his bris. If it falls out on Shabbos, you can bathe him in hot water. You heat up the water, even on Shabbos, in order to give the kid a proper bathe, because otherwise, you know, it could be it's a sakana for him. So we want to do whatever we can to help him get healed. and all the different things that you need that are necessary for bris milah you can do on Shabbos in order to help make everything, make sure that everything is going to be beseder. V'chol arel lo yoichal boi. So now we speak again. These are like a line and a half over here that talks about the what's the inyan of arel. And the Marzu, as I mentioned before, said that this line actually is supposed to be in the beginning of the parak, not over here. But this is what he says: v'chol arel lo yoichal boi. A arel is not allowed to eat from the korban pesach. That's a pasuk in Parshas Boi. And then it says the words lo yiga b'mikdash. And the arel is not allowed to touch the mikdash. What does it mean that arel is not allowed? Does that mean that arel is not allowed to touch the base of mikdash? We're not allowed to walk in and like touch the wall. Lo yiga b'mikdash. You're not allowed to touch the mikdash. So the Marzu says that we never find such an issur of touching the base of mikdash. So what does that mean? So he says what it's supposed to be a mistake. It's supposed to be lo yiga b'kodesh. He's not allowed to touch kodesh, meaning he's not allowed to touch the sacrifices. He's not allowed to touch the meat of a korban shlomim, let's say. He's not allowed to touch it. But then the Marzu says that that's also a little bit difficult because Gemara Yevamos on the Pei Beis and Beis brings the machlokes Tanaim if an oil is allowed to touch a korban, a buster of a korban. Rabbi Kiva holds not, and Rabbi Eliezer holds yet. So he says that if Rabbi Eliezer holds he is allowed to, so why in Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer would he be going with the opinion that you're not allowed to? So the Marzu ends up with a tzarchin. He says, I don't know what this line means. Leiga b'kodesh. Then the Medrash ends up and says, a parish mina arla ki parish mina kever. When a person gets his arla cut off and he has a bris milah, it's as if he touched a dead body and he has to go to the mikvah because it's considered it has a din of tumas meis. If I'm not mistaken, I didn't look this up, but I think that this is halacha d'rabbanan. I don't remember exactly why they were misaking this. So you don't need, like, I don't think the Chazal mechayev you to get from like a paro duma, like as if you really touched a dead person. I think it just means you have to go to the mikvah, but I could be mistaken. Fine. Rabbi Gamliel Eimer. Oh, sorry. Rabbi Gamliel Benayish Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Eimer. Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, says like this. B'yayim shenim al Avram, b'yayim hashlishi ke'ev hayalei ma'id. On the day that Avram Avinu had his bris, on the third day of it, it was very painful for him. Kedei l'nasoysoy, in order for Hashem to test Avram Avinu to see what his reaction is going to be. Hashem made it very painful. Me'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did Hashem do in order to alleviate the pain? The Radar interestingly brings a different gear, slightly different gear from the Yakut Shemayin. It says that over there it says Ke'ev hayolei ma'oid, he had a lot of pain, and then it says Me'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu kidei l'nasoysoy, what did Hashem do in order to test him? A slightly different girsa, but Pashas is that the pain was to test him, and now we're speaking about what Hashem did to help alleviate that pain. Nakav chayr echad be'gehenim, Hashem opened up one of the holes to Gehenim, v'hirtiach es hayayim yayman shalrishayim, and he made the day as hot as the day of Rishayim. The day of Rishayim means as hot as hell, right? The day that the Rishayim are going to get their punishment is going to be really hot. So Hashem made the day that Avraham Avinu had his bris, or the third day that Avraham Avinu had his bris milah, he made that day really, really hot. V'yotza v'yoshav lei bepesach ha'oihel l'ruachayim, and Avraham Avinu went out and he sat down at the entrance to his tent for the wind of the day. He wanted, as the Radar says, he wanted to catch a nice cool breeze to help cool him off, because inside his tent it was hotter. You know, it was probably hotter inside his tent than it was outside. That's just the way it works. And he didn't have a mazgan or a mavrera or whatever. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, v'hu yeshe pesach oihel k'chay mayam, and he was sitting at the entrance to his tent by the heat of the day. I mean, because of the heat of the day, that's why he was sitting out there by the entrance to his tent. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said, the Malachi Ashores, to the ministering angels, Boyu Unuvakir Asachela, come, let us go and visit the sick man. Shemidas Gemilos Chasodim Gedoyla Lafanai, because the property, the characteristic of Gemilos Chasodim, of doing kindness to others, is very important in front of me. We spoke about this Barichus in Perek Beis and Perek Tzadik. So what happened? Miyad yardu malacham ubikras Avram. So immediately the angels came and they went to visit Avram. They came down and visited Avram. And we spoke about way earlier in Perek Chaf Hey about what exactly the Malachim said to Avram Avinu when they came to him about the destruction of Sodom and trying to heal him, etc., etc. Another Nakuda over here is the this is an interesting shtickle Torah Rabbi Yomi Izmir has. He makes a deal in the Lashon of the Medrash. It says that Hashem said to the Malachi Yesharis, let's go and visit the sick man. Why didn't Hashem say to the Malachi Yesharis, let's go and visit Avram Avinu? Why do you have to say, let's go visit the sick person? What? Why are we playing games? Just say it straight out. Why are you saying the sick person? So he brings the Gemara. The Gemara says that there was a machlokes between Yeshayahu HaNavi and Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Who should go to whom? Chizkiyahu HaMelech was the king of Klal of Yehuda, and he was in a powerful position. It was a chashuva position, and he would have to consult with the Navi, obviously, because the king and the Navi, they have to consult with each other. But Chizkiyahu HaMelech thought to himself, well, I have to go to the Navi to visit him. The Navi should come to me. I'm the king. If Hashem wants something to tell me, so the Navi should come to me. On the other hand, the Navi looked at it the opposite way. I have to go to the king and tell him what Hashem says. The king should come visit me. I'm the prophet of Hashem. I'm the one who's going to reveal what Hashem says, and he should come to me. Right? It's a Gemara, it's more or less a Gemara in Brachas. So what did Hashem do? So the Gemara says that Hashem did was he made Chizkiyahu HaMelech sick, and Chizkiyahu HaMelech was very sick. And then he told Yeshaya Navi, go visit Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He's very sick. Right? So if Hashem said, Stan, go visit him. So saying like, oh, I'm the king. Whatever. He's Stan, go visit him. And say, no, he's the king. He should come visit me. I'm the Navi. But once Hashem said, go visit him because he's sick. Now I'm doing it. I'm not doing it Stan to pay a duty visit. I'm doing it because I'm doing Gemilas Chasadim to him. I'm going to go visit him because he's sick. Right? It doesn't matter if you're the king and I'm the Navi of Hashem. I'm the Navi of Hashem also has to do Chesed. So we're going to go do Chesed and visit him. So Rabbi Yomi Izmir says that that's Pshat over here with Avram of Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Malachi Asharis. We've spoken about this idea a few times already, that there's some sort of competition, so to speak, between Malachim and people. People and Malach and angels, they don't always get along with each other. Hashem didn't want to make certain things because he didn't want to make it that the angels would be jealous of people or people would be jealous of angels. Hashem made sort of a balance in the world. Now the question is, if Hashem said, okay, let's go visit Avram Avinu, right? So then the angels are going to get jealous. They're going to say, who's this Avram Avinu that Hashem is going to visit him and he's telling us to go visit him? What is this? They're going to get jealous. They might say bad things about him or Ketrugim or something like that. So what did Hashem do? Hashem made Avram Avinu sick. And then he told the Malachim, let's go visit the sick man. Hashem could do Chesed. For sure the Malachim could do Chesed. So okay, doing Chesed, that's acceptable. So that's why the Medrash says it as if Hashem said, let's go visit the sick person. It didn't say, let's go visit Avram. The fact that he's Avram, that's not what Hashem was trying to focus on when he told the Malachim to go visit him. He's trying to focus on Stan, the fact that he's a sick person, let's go visit him. Right. Come and hear, come and see the power of Bris Mila. Because before Avram Avinu had his Bris Mila, every time he would have a nevuah from Hashem, he would fall down on his face. And then Hashem would speak to him. Shneur says the pasuk, "Vayipal Avram al panav." Avram Avinu fell on his face, and then Hashem came to him in a nevuah. But achshav shenimo. But now that Avram Avinu got his Bris Mila, va'ani oimed, he's going to be sitting and I'm going to be standing. Avram Avinu is on a higher level now. He's going to be able to sit and accept Nevuah while he's sitting, and Hashem is going to kibiyachol, show honor to Avram Avinu by standing in front of Avram Avinu. Why? Because it says, Shenemar, it says the pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, says, v'hu yoshev pesach ha'ol. And he, Avram, was sitting at the entrance of his tent. So he was sitting. And then the next pasuk says, and he lifted his eyes and he saw there were three men standing in front of him, and those were the agents of Hashem, and they were standing and he was sitting. So you see that Avraham Avinu got to this higher level where he would be able to receive prophecy or receive divine divine visions while he's sitting, and in the vision Hashem kibiyachol is standing. Yeah, you have any questions? No. Okay. Now, the word Orel or Orla literally means, the Radak in his Sefer Shirashim and the Ibn Ezra in the Sefer Yisayid Meira, they say that the word Orla literally means something, an extra thing which is an extra thing which is inconvenient as it's supposed to be moved. That's what the word Orla literally means. And Rashi also in Chumash and in a few other places in Tanakh, Rashi says a similar idea, that the word Orla means something that's blocked, a blockage. So something extra that should be removed, or a blockage that's like blocking something else. That's what the word Orla literally means. So now Chazal is going to tell us different manifestations of this word Orla in what it means in different places and how that relates to the Indian of Bris Milah. Rabbi Zeira Omer. Rabbi Zeira says, Chamesh Orlos Ba'olam. There's five types of Orlas in the world. Arba ba'adam va'achas ba'ilan. Four of them are said, four types of Orlas, blockage, are talking about a person, and one of them is talking about a tree. Arba ba'adam inayin. Where are the four, where do we know about these four that are talking about a person? Orlas ha'ezen. One is a blockage of the ear. Shenemar hine arela oznam. In Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, behold, their ear is blocked. They're not listening properly. Arlas sfasayim. The blockage of the mouth. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, vani arel sfasayim. Right? It's talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, but Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to go speak to Paro because it says, ani arel sfasayim. I have a blockage in my mouth. I can't speak properly. Arlas alev. A blockage of the heart. Shenemar umaltem eis orlas levavchem. Hashem says that I'm going to give you a circumcision of your heart. I'm going to make it that your heart is no longer going to be blocked. So those are the first three are a blockage in the ear, a blockage in the lips, and a blockage in the heart that blocks it from properly coming out or coming in. Orlas basar minayin. Where do we know about the orla of a basar? I mean, the orla of the circumcision, right, of a bris milah. Where do we know what type of orla is it talking about? A blockage. So maybe it means a blockage of the ear. It's supposed to cut off your ear. That's a bris milah. You cut off your ear. No. Shinai says in the pasuk, the orel zohar asher lo yimal es besar orlasay. The pasuk says an orel zohar, a person who's an orel and is male who didn't have who didn't cut off the flesh of his orla, of his blockage, so he's going to have karis, right? So Chazal darsh an orel zohar. He's an orel in the place where he's a zohar. The blockage that we're talking about is talking about a blockage in the place of what makes him a male. So obviously, despite what people want to say nowadays, but there are biological differences between men and women, and obviously the male has a certain limb that on that limb is possible to be blocked, and that's what the Orla of Bris Milah is talking about. Vayomer, it also says in the pasuk, ki chol hagoyim arelim v'chol beis Yisrael arle lev. It says all the nations of the world are arelim; they don't have a Bris Milah. V'chol beis Yisrael arle lev. But all the Jews who technically have a Bris Milah are arle lev. They have a blockage in their heart. It's a pasuk in Yirmiyah that they're not listening properly to what Hashem wants. But, well, Orlas Halev, what does it mean, Orlas Halev? Orlas Halev is that a blockage in the heart means, Ein manachas lasis utsayin barer. It's something that impedes on a person's ability to fulfill the ratzon of his creator. Something that stops him from doing what he's supposed to do. That's what it means, Orlas Halev. Olasid Lavai. In the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu meisir es orlas halev me'alehen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to remove this blockage of the heart from upon people. Ve'enon machin es orpan lefnei bayram. And they're no longer going to be stiff-necked towards their creator. Shinema, as it says in the pasuk, v'hasiraisi es lev ha'even mi'besarchem. I'm going to remove the heart of stone from your flesh. V'nasati lachem lev basar. And I'm going to give you a heart of flesh inside in your body. When people, when they don't listen to Hashem, they have a heart, their heart is hardened. Like the Lashem is said by Paro, that he hardened his heart. What does it mean he hardened his heart? He made himself like strong that nothing could get in and penetrate his heart and make him change his mind. So Hashem says that in the pasuk in Yechezkel, in the future Hashem is going to remove that the rocky heart from within us and give us a real heart, a heart of flesh that can be penetrated, and then Hashem will be able to listen and do what we're supposed to. V'omer, and another pasuk says, Umaltam Esor Laslavavchem, Hashem is going to cut the orla of our hearts. So that's what it's talking about. That Hashem is going to be, in the future, we're going to be able to listen to what Hashem says and accomplish His ratzon. Interestingly, the Radal brings that the Peskim in Yeridei Siman Ayin Beis in Hilchos Melicha, the Peskim bring down that there's a minig that when you're salting a heart of an animal, you're supposed to cut off a certain like tip of the heart that according to Kabbalah is called the Orlas Halev. You're supposed to like cut that piece off, and that's supposed to be like a remez to cutting off the Orlas Halev of Klal Yisrael, and they'll be able to like accept the words of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Some interesting. It's an Indian. It's a P Kabbalah, but it's brought down in the Peskim. Fine. So those are the five types, the four types of orlas that are talking about a human being, right? In the ear, in the lips, in the heart, and then in his reproductive organ. What's the fifth one? Achas bi'ilan. There's one type of orla which is talking about a tree. Shenema, it says the pasuk, so vayola aretz. When you go into the land, unatatem kol etz ma'achol, and you plant any fruit bearing tree, any edible tree. Hard to translate, but it means that there'll be a blockage blocking you from its fruit. Meaning you are impeded from eating, you're being blocked from eating its fruit for a certain amount of time. It's what we call in agricultural halacha, it's called orla. Orla means that you're not allowed to eat fruits from a tree within the tree's first 3 years of life. Rabbi Zvika Omer. Rabbi Zvika says, "Ein eitz ha'omur kan el eitz ha'gefen." The eitz that we're discussing when we talk about orla is talking about eitz of the tree of a gefen, meaning a vine which produces grapes. Now, there's an interesting side discussion over here. The Radal brings up this, from the Zayis Ranan, that what this means. We're going to bring a mashal and then interpret the mashal. That's what we're going to do. But like the beginning is like, oh, when it says eitz by orla, it only means gefen. Why does it only mean gefen? So we know that there's the halacha of orla is that the first 3 years of a fruit tree, you're not allowed to eat from its fruits. The fourth year, it says it's kodesh yilulim. It's kodesh. It has a halacha of kedusha. You're supposed to bring it to the base of mikdash and eat it over there. And then in the fifth year, then you could eat it normally. That's the halacha. Now, this halacha of kodesh yilulim, that in the fourth year, the produce is kodesh, the fruits are kodesh, so there's a machlekes in the Gemara. Do we say neter avai or kerem avai? Is it any fruit in the fourth year is going to be kodesh, or only it's only talking about a vineyard that in the fourth year, the grapes are going to be kodesh? Neter avai, what? It's what? It's in Beta. It's in Brachos also. Neter Revai or Kerem Revai. So the Zayis Ranan says that this Medrash is going like the opinion that says Kerem Revai, because it said Ein Eitz Amor Kan Ela Eitz Gefen. We mean every Eitz has the Indian of Orla. So he said that it's going according to the opinion of Kerem Revai. But the question is that that's not true, because Kerem Revai and Neter Revai, that whole Machlekes is only about the Halacha that in the fourth year the produce is going to be Kodesh Hilulim. Everyone agrees that all fruits for the first 3 years you're not allowed to use. It's called Orla. Everyone agrees that that applies to all fruits. The only Machlekes is in the fourth year that we said it's Kodesh, does it apply only to a Kerem, or does it also apply to all other fruits? That's the Machlekes. But the Orla part, everyone agrees to. Radal asked this question on the Zayis Ranan. Was a Pirish Ali Zayis from Rav Kenner from Toronto on the Zayis Ranan. He also discusses this. It's a little bit difficult to accept. But the point is that the Medrash over here is going to give us a mashal. So again, Rabbi Zvika says, "Ein eitz ha'omer kan ela eitz ha'gefen." The eitz that we're talking about an orla is the eitz of a gefen. Im einen kersin es eitz or losoi, if you don't cut off the eitz, the tree, the orla of the gefen, of the vineyard, the things that grow in the vineyard that you're not allowed to eat, if you don't cut it off, then what's going to happen is kol ha'perishu oisep oilolis ketufin v'loy tovin lamayit. All the clusters that are going to come out from this vine are going to be, they're going to be, what's it called, maldeveloped. They're going to be like messed up, the clusters. They're not going to be like perfectly neat, and they're not going to look so nice. And the wine from such a vine, wine from a vine, are going to be puzzled to be brought on Mizbech, because it's not going to look nice, so therefore that those clusters are going to be usher. Well, no, so I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to. It could be there's a halacha that says that, like, if the cluster was like wasn't developed properly, so then the wine's a puzzle. I'm not sure. I don't know where
it's exactly. The grapes themselves. Like,
the grapes themselves. Yeah.
They're like, not tiny ones. And
right. Or if it's like an uneven amount or something like that. Like a cluster is supposed to look like a pyramid, sort of. Right, like more over here, and then less, and then there's like one on the bottom, something like that. Be'im kursin eitz orla. So, but if you cut off the parts of the vine that's orla, and then you wait for the good ones to grow properly, then kol perishu eise toivim lamare. All the clusters that are going to grow from it are going to look nice. V'nivcha yedim lahakev al gabi abizbech. And the wine that comes out is going to be kosher for the mizbeach. It's not going to have any blemishes. That's the mashal. What's the nimshal? Kach Avram Avinu. So to Avram Avinu. Actually, Nimal, before he had his bris milah, hapri she'asa loy haya toy v'maisav. The fruit that he made wasn't good in its deeds. Meaning Yishma. The first, when Avram Avinu was the oil, before he had his bris milah, so what was his product? His product was Yishma. Yishma was not good. He didn't do good deeds. He was disqualified from being on the Mizbeach.
The fact he wasn't called Avram.
What?
He was Avram.
Yeah, also he wasn't Avraham, he was Avram. True. Ucha shenimo, and once Avram Avinu had his bismillah, haprisha asa hayatay v'maisav. The fruit that he created was good in its deeds. V'nevcha yein al gabi ha-mizbech, and his wine was chosen.
But after the other b'nei keturah weren't so good.
To be brought in on mizbech. I hear kiyein nesach, like wine that's poured in front of mizbech. Shemar v'yayin la nesach revi isahin the pasuk in parshas Pinchas. I hear you asking. You're asking what about the b'nei keturah? I don't know. I hear what you're asking.
Some bad
nations
come from the
vineyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could be good wine and bad glass.
Also, bad glass, you're saying. Good wine and a bad glass. The Keturah is a bad glass? I don't know.
I don't know. Keturah
says she
made her actions sweet like spices, no?
I don't know.
She was
a Belchuma, right?
If Keturah is Hagar or Keturah is somebody else, there's a few different majorshim about Keturah exactly. Right. Fine. I think we will stop over here. Shkoyach for coming. And we'll continue next week.